188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is me, Tommy Freedom, 100% back on track, less than 1 week after having gotten into it with the Kung Flu and come out completely on top.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!
Back from the jaws of death, back from the mouth of hell, rode the 600. This whole thing has been completely overblown, folks. Now, you heard how bad I sounded last week. And then only 24 hours later when I came back and I did my little update, my Tommy Freedom bonus, how different I sounded. It was just out of my system that quick. Well, it did leave me a parting gift about 2 days later, which I will not get into, but that was also something else that really isn't being reported in the news for people who think they have this thing. So, apparently, they're saying don't take ibuprofen if you think you have COVID. Hey, it worked great for me. It helped with my headache. It helped with a lot of the achy symptoms that I had. I took it for a day or two, and that was it. It was over and done with. It was out of my system. I think this whole thing is being overblown. They're trying to wreck our economy, but it's not going to work. As more and more people come through this thing without any ill effects, it's just going to show that this whole thing is pretty much non-existent. Now, yes, I will agree there are people who are dying left and right in certain areas of the world, but I think they're more susceptible to it. Have you heard what's in this stuff, folks? It's got MERS, it's got SARS, and it's got HIV, which is very curious, because I think that the Chinese were developing this thing as an anti-AIDS vaccine, and it got away from them. I think their physiology is different from ours. Just look at the different parts of the world where people are dying off left and right from this. It's not your northern Europeans. Now, I've got to look into what's going on in Italy and see what the demographics are there. I'd be really curious to know whether they are the northern Italians or if they're from the southern part of the country where they do have a lot of that Mediterranean blood mixed in with them, which I think is what's being attacked here. If this was, in fact, a vaccine for AIDS that had HIV in there to try and bolster your immune system, and it attacks certain races, certain people, while it seems to make other people like myself even more healthy, this may not even have come from China. It could have been originated in Russia, and it could have been designed for the complete opposite, not to take someone down, but to bolster their immune systems. The Nazis did this all throughout World War II, trying to develop super soldiers. Maybe China did that and it failed. We may never know. If we do know, it's going to take a while to come out, but we may never actually know. But the curious thing about this is that there are certain people who are succumbing to this in a day or two, And there are certain people like myself who are coming through this thing in a matter of hours and coming out the other end healthier and with stronger immune systems than they had before they contracted it in the first place, which is very, very interesting to me and leads me to believe, along with the fact of what's in here, that this was genetically engineered, and they know it was. HIV is not going to get into a cold virus on its own. It's got to be put there. But why would you put HIV into a flu virus? Well, any vaccine that you have, for, say, smallpox, that's taken from cowpox. You put an active culture in that's been weakened, and you put it into a vehicle that's going to carry it, just like spray paint has a vehicle that deposits that paint. It's petroleum-based. So you need some sort of a vehicle to transport this to where it can get into your body. And a flu or a cold virus would be a very good vehicle to get that HIV into your system. And this would be a much weakened version of HIV that would make your system aware that it was there and go after it and attack it. And then you would naturally develop an immunity to the HIV virus. It sounds very plausible to me. It's just a question of what went wrong. Why did this go so terribly wrong? Was it something that they were working on? It wasn't quite ready and it escaped? Is it something that they were testing on people and then it escaped? Was it in those animals they put in that market? We'll probably never know the answer to that. But in time, as more and more people come through this, I think you're going to find that there are going to be certain demographics that are going to fall victim to this a whole lot more easily. And here's something else that's very interesting too, folks. My dad got a little bit of a cough, and that was it. My dad's on anti-cancer drugs, and that's something to keep in mind too. What was he taking that would have boosted his immune system? Because when you're on these cancer drugs, you're taking other things that are going to boost your immune system, and all he got was a little cough. Now, he may have had a temperature too or something and not known it, never bothered to take his temperature. My dad doesn't complain when he's sick. He doesn't, and I'm the same way. It takes a lot. If I all of a sudden decide that I should take my temperature, I know it's something serious because it's usually like it was when I had this, and I was starting to get lightheaded, which means my temperature was over 102 degrees. So when my dad says, I'm sick, you know it's serious. When I say, I'm sick, you know it's serious. And I've told you before, we just don't get sick. And if we do get something, we just fight it off immediately, as you saw happen with this latest round of crap. I'm willing to bet that there are millions of cases of this out there that are just so mild that people don't even realize they have it and that they're going unreported, just like I did with mine. Now, I don't have a doctor because I don't get sick. So I didn't have a doctor to call in and say, hey, you know, I got these symptoms here. No. I think that you're going to find when this is all over and done with, I think right now you're going to see it start to speed up because as more and more people are coming in contact with each other, they're going to pass it. But most people aren't even going to realize they had it. And all of a sudden, in a month or so, it's just going to fall off the face of the earth, at least here in the United States, because we're generally a lot more healthy than they are in other parts of the world, particularly in places like China where this originated. We're going to get through this. This is no different than the common flu. You may get some people that are dying from it a little bit more easily, but still, the numbers are not there of the numbers of people that you have just dying from the common flu every year. This is nothing special. It's just one we haven't seen before. And yeah, it's morphing a little bit, but that's common for all viruses. They will change. They will morph. This is nothing new. This is nothing to be terrified about. And it just... they're implementing these things all across the country, the shelter in place in some areas. You know, if you can't work from home, you know, you're not going to be allowed to go to work. They're going to crash this economy. I think that's what this is all about. This is all about crashing the economy, putting us into a huge recession, possibly even a depression, blaming it all on Donald Trump. But folks, this isn't going to last. This is not going to last very long at all. Yeah, some people are going to lose their jobs, but they'll come right back. Because when this is over with, the economy is going to rebound back to where it was and maybe even go higher. In the meantime, we're looking at precious metals come down. And I'm going to discuss that a little bit later in the show about precious metals and what they've been doing and what you should be doing. But the economy is going to come back. We couldn't have a better president handling this right now than Donald Trump. Look, Donald Trump has gone to bankruptcy, I don't know, a couple of times for like hundreds of millions of dollars or, you know, billions of dollars. And he's always come back and gone above and beyond where he was before. And learning from those mistakes and what he's learned from that, being a businessman, he can do the same thing with this country. That's why it's been so important for so long to have a businessman running this country as a business, as Donald Trump has done. Ross Perot could have done the same thing had he been elected back in, what was it, 1990? Yeah. No, let's go up against Bill Clinton. So, anyway, if Ross Perot had been elected back then, we would have seen this kind of thing start to occur back then, and we might not be in the boat that we've been in through Bush 2 and Clinton and especially Barack Obama. Having Donald Trump in the White House at this crucial time is very important to this country being able to continue the way it's been going and the way it's going to continue to flourish and to blossom. We could not do that with a professional politician trying to handle us right now. They would drop the ball. After 9/11, Rudy Giuliani, even though he was defeated, he stayed in office until everything was over and done with, for the most part, in New York City. Then Bloomberg came in and took over, and of course now he's trying to claim credit for it. He wasn't in office. He agreed that Rudy Giuliani had the experience and knew what to do to run New York City through that time of crisis. And Donald Trump has the experience to get us through this crisis, and he will, my friends. He will get us through this. The economy will rebound, and we'll be fine. And those jobs will come back. But in the meantime, the Democrats are using this emergency to do everything they can to tank the economy. They're continuing to issue false reports, false news, false stories in the mainstream media. And people are falling for it. They're believing it. My sister up in New England is a nurse. Her entire family is able to work from home. She and her son and his family and her daughter, they're all able to work from home. But she said something I just couldn't believe it. I said, you know, if they instill shelter in place here, I said, you're going to see 1 million pissed off people. And she's like, why? I said, because people need jobs. They need to get out. And when you take somebody's job away from them, you're going to piss somebody off. And the person who issued that order may not survive to have their job next month. And her response was, well, my government says I need to do. Yes, you're hearing me correct. Well, my government says this is what I should be doing, and I listen to my government, so I'm going to do what my government tells me. I wish I had a little bell right here. Ding, 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 ding. Sheep. That is the sheep mentality, my big sister. You're going to do what the government tells you. If the government told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it too? And she probably would, because if it was for the better of the country, she'd jump off that bridge. And that's just how people are. But we're seeing this happening more and more in places that are dominated by the progressive left. Where are we seeing these shelter-in-place orders where you are forbidden to leave your home? California, New York. Maybe Chicago, I'm not sure if they're there yet, but I know certainly in California and New York, they're issuing these orders. These are places where you have the scourge of society. You have all these homeless people in California living on the streets, spreading this stuff. You have these crowded conditions. They're all run by liberals. And in areas of the country that are more red, you're not seeing this because we're used to doing things on our own. We're not panicking. Now, it amuses me. Every time I go to the grocery store, I need to pick up something simple. So typically what I need is there. Like this morning, I went to the grocery store to get some Famotidine for acid reflux. It was still on the shelves. Nobody's going after that. They're panic buying the other stuff. And I just will wander the aisles just to see what they look like. And the toilet paper's still gone. The water's gone. The paper towels are gone. Interestingly, so is all the meat. And even the potatoes are now gone. What's there? Fruits and vegetables. What they should really be buying to be boosting their immune system if they're concerned about catching anything, they're leaving on the shelves. And so you go into the garden section of the grocery store where all the fruits and vegetables are, and yeah, the potatoes are gone, but everything else is there. Cucumbers, lettuce. You want to make an awesome salad? This is the time to do it because nobody's buying that stuff. And it's all this panic buying that I'm just laughing. Because this is stuff that I've been stocking up on for years. And I've told you these items, what to buy, what to stock up on. And what was the one that was always number one at the top of my list, my friends? It was toilet paper. I always said I keep 5 years worth of toilet paper on hand at all times. So when something like this happens, everybody else is going to run out. They're going to be tearing up their t-shirts, their bed sheets, and the living room carpet, and I'm going to be sitting there on the toilet with the real thing going, yeah, I got the real thing, because I looked ahead to stock up on toilet paper. But this is a good example of panic buying. When somebody realizes, oh my goodness, I might need this, then everybody goes out and buys it whether they need it or not. Well, had they been doing this for the past 20 years like I have, it wouldn't be an issue. I'm not concerned about running out of food. I've got 5 years worth of food. And the ammunition, my God, I told you last week, folks, I went to the gun store to get some silver, and I got to talking to the guy behind the register about having 5 years worth of toilet paper. I said, now you know why I'm not buying guns and ammo. He said, yeah, you got plenty. I said, yes, because I've already addressed this years and years ago. Now, I stopped by the gun store again yesterday to pick up some more silver, because it's now starting to come back up a little bit, but it was still in the mid-12s. So I bought one last brick of silver. And I got to the gun store, and even that had lines. They're limiting the number of people that could go in and out of the gun store. One line was for guns, one line was for ammo. So I went to someone at the front of the line. I said, is there a line for silver? He goes, I think so. Ask this guy here. So I asked him, I said, do you have a line for silver? And he looked at me, he goes, you're it. Awesome. So about 30 seconds later, another guy goes, yep, you're going to the coin shop? I said, yep. He goes, come on in. Hundreds of people standing out there in line waiting to get in the gun store. And I just walked right in because I wasn't looking for guns and ammo. I was buying silver. I don't need to stock up on those other things. So I've been watching this thing with interest as the stock market comes down, as that falls. People are selling their silver. Well, they were. Last week and the week before, they were selling their precious metals so that they could convert it to cash to keep their employees in business and things like that. That's why silver and gold and copper have come down so much. Now it's kind of bottomed out and it's starting to come back up. But that's why silver was so low. Even though people are buying it up left and right, it was staying low because as some people were selling, other people like myself were taking the opportunity to snap it up. So that's where that was coming from. And it's going to rebound again with along with everything else. It'll be back higher than it was before. It's going to take a little while longer because gold is a precious metal that people invest in for what I'm doing. I can't afford to do that with gold, so I do it with silver. And I've encouraged my listeners here to invest in silver to an extent, maybe not as much as I have. But because silver and copper are both industrial metals as opposed to a precious metal that's kept to hedge against your bets, it's going to lag a while. So you're going to see gold come back first, then you're going to see silver and then copper come back into play behind it, and they'll come back up. And I think maybe in April or May, you may see silver and copper drop again. Gold maybe a little bit, but I think that's going to kind of hold steady. You're going to see silver go down maybe to around the $10 mark. Then when it comes back up, it's going to go higher and higher and higher. And probably by the end of the decade, we're going to see $100 silver, which is exactly what I'm looking for. This is why I've been buying it low and why I've been encouraging you to take advantage of the situations over the past couple of years as it drops down to buy it. An ounce at a time, if that's all you can afford, 5-10 ounces. If you can afford more than that, great, because this is the time. Take advantage of it, my friends. I don't tell you these things for absolutely no reason. I don't tell you these things just to hear myself talk, although I love to. It's here to share this information with you, to help you understand the way that I look at things so that when there is a crisis like this, you can get through it as easily as I have and as easily as I will continue to do so.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Well, now I want to switch gears and let's exit the coronavirus freeway for a while. I want to discuss something. It's some good news. It probably doesn't mean that much to you, but it's kind of good news for me. My little sister, who was actually 12 years younger than me, is almost ready to publish a children's novel that she's been working on for the past 30 years. So I want to extend congratulations and luck to her. This is something that she's been working on off and on since the early 1990s. and something from time to time she'd be able to work on. And more recently, she's found an illustrator for this book. She's got a publisher for it. It's going to be printed on demand in both hardcover and softcover. She's just waiting to hear back from the Library of Congress on the copyrights. And then she's ready to go. And I'm really, really proud of her. She's the second published author in the family. I, of course, was the first. And I have the ability to write fiction and nonfiction as well as scripts. So I'm encouraging her, because she is a good fiction writer, to get into writing scripts. And she says, well, you know, I have, you know, for different companies, for commercials and things. I'm like, no, TV scripts, movie scripts, you know, the kind of stuff that I've been doing. It's really, really fun to write. So she's going to look into that too. But again, just really, really proud of her that she's going to have this out there. I'm not going to tell you the name of it, because that will kind of divulge, you know, who the family is. But I guarantee you, if you've got kids in the next year or so, you are most likely going to hear about this novel, because it's going to be an incredible book. I know how she writes. She writes in a style very similar to me. She's an incredibly gifted writer. Now maybe she can get into acting too. I don't know. But it's good to see other people in the family now that are, you know, kind of following my footsteps. My little sister kind of doing that, even though, like I said, she is older than me. But she and I always have had similar interests and similar talents, and writing was one of those that we share. So we always encourage each other. And I reminded her of something that somebody told me when I got my first book contract about 20 years ago. And I don't even remember who it was that said this to me, but they said, don't forget who you are or where you've come from. Well, that sounds okay, you know, yeah, obviously, but so many people let it go to their head. And all these years, every time I've done a book signing, if somebody wants to talk, as long as there's not a line behind them, I'll always talk as long as they want to talk. And when I became an actor and got on TV, people would want to talk to me. They want my autograph. They want to ask me questions. And I was already used to that. You see, you're nothing without a fan base. If you're an entertainer of any sorts, or an artist, now you could be a visual artist, painting, sketching, drawing, a performing artist, an actor, a singer, even, I'll go out and extend, a rapper. If you have a fan base, you're nothing without them. And there are people out there like Bruce Willis who charges for an autograph and just absolutely rude to his fans. That's a good way to lose your fans. And if you lose your fans, you lose your livelihood. If you're really friendly and outgoing, like Mel Gibson, then you have a really big fan base, and that's what keeps you going. And my sister said, yeah, that's pretty good advice. I said, well, I'm just relaying what was relayed to me. It's not my original. As much as I'd like to take credit for it, I can't. But I have always made an effort to not forget who I was or where I came from. And I've always remained down to earth, which I think you can pick up on the way I do this show. I'm not out there tooting my own horn, for the most part. But I'm trying to reach out to you one-on-one, like you're part of my family. And when I address you all each week, it's like I'm addressing friends and family. It's like being on a big conference call here that nobody else can call in on, but they can all hear. And that's essentially all a radio show is. It's just like talking on the telephone. You're just talking into a very different mouthpiece than you would be if you were holding a phone up. That's why it's so easy for people to call in on a radio show, because essentially you're just talking to the guy on the other end of the line. It's not dawning on you that perhaps your voice is going out to thousands or perhaps even millions of people, depending upon whose show you're calling into. If you're calling into Rush Limbaugh, you know, potentially thousands of people could, or I'm sorry, millions of people could be listening in on that. But as long as you just think of this as a one-way conversation with somebody on the other end of the line, it's very easy to call in. And that's how it is when you're doing a radio show. And I found it's very easy for me to do that in front of the camera, too. I don't look at the camera and envision a million people on the other end of the camera. I mean, it's an inanimate object. And if somebody's interviewing me, then I'm talking to that person. The camera's irrelevant. The guy holding it's irrelevant. And when I'm on TV or when I was in the movies, I'm just doing what I would normally do anyway. It's just that, yeah, there's this little contraption this guy's got in his hand, and it's recording everything that I'm saying and doing. But being an entertainer is really no different than being around your friends and your family and entertaining those who you love. Just think of it as a giant home movie. We don't get out there with our video cameras and act really stupid and scared and nervous when we're making home movies? No. And making a commercial movie or a TV show is no different. And neither is doing a radio show. So folks, you know, I encourage you, if you have talent, please use it. Especially right now when so many of us are at home and can't do anything. If you've got an idea for a YouTube channel, get out there, get it going, go spend the money on a GoPro. I'm going to do that very, very soon. I've got some cameras here. I just don't know how to use them properly. I could probably get going, but I think I'm going to invest a couple hundred dollars in a GoPro and start out doing survival stuff, gardening tips, and things like that. And I've got two YouTube channels. One of them I started specifically for this, and another one I've got like 7 followers. I've never posted anything except responses. I guess people like the way I post my responses, but I've never posted any videos on this YouTube channel. I have 7 followers. So I'm thinking about getting this other one going and getting some information out there, much like I do this radio show, because I do enjoy sharing my information with you. I love getting out here every week. And as I've told you before, this is my community service to the white community, just like when I used to give blood. And oh, that reminds me, my friends, I donated blood again yesterday. Had not donated in 10 years. I've been so damn busy, I haven't had the opportunity to get out there and donate blood. But since I do have AB negative blood and they were crying on the radio for blood donations, I went down there and they're like, well, do you have an appointment? I said, no. I said, but I got AB negative blood and I've never been turned away before. And they're right, yep, and you're not going to be turned away today either. So I donated another pint of blood, which I hadn't done, like I said, in a decade. And I was amazed at how fast I still was able to donate that pint of blood and just get up and walk out the door without any dizziness. Hell, if I just went through a temperature last week of 103 degrees, getting a little lightheaded, certainly giving a pint of blood wasn't going to make me lightheaded. So I was glad to get out and do that. I'm coming up on 10 gallons. I'm looking forward to getting my 12 gallons, not 10 gallons, because when I do that, my blood clock will be finished, and I'll be able to get the little plaque on there that says, you know, started in 1986, and I got my 12-gallon pin in, it's going to be 2020. And that's just a personal accomplishment for me. If I'd been doing this for the past 10 years, even the past 15 years, and I've really slowed down, I'd probably be up around 30 gallons by now, which would be absolutely awesome. Not that 12 gallons isn't, but I'd certainly like to help as many people as I can. So that's why I do this show, as I've explained this to you before. This is my community service, sharing my views, my information, my take on things with my white brothers and sisters. This is the way that I share what I have with all of you. It's something I enjoy doing. It's something I'm going to continue doing as long as I can. And like I said, I'm now looking into possibly getting into the visual aspect of this as well. Not just doing this show, but doing something on YouTube under a different name, obviously. I do this show under a pseudonym for various reasons, and I will do the same thing if I go on YouTube. But as much information as I can share is just what I want to do. So on that note, I will be back next week with much more information to share. Not really sure where it's going to go. We'll see how this whole coronavirus thing goes, see what direction that continues to head in. There might be some better news with other things, and I'm sorry I didn't really get into it that much in depth what I wanted to about the copper and the silver, but I kind of covered it a little bit earlier. So no really big news flash there that you missed. Just keep an eye on this stuff, folks, and watch it. If you're interested in buying silver like this as an investment, it's something that's certainly going to be worth your while to pay attention to. So, till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, I want you to stay out there, stay tuned to what's going on, stay free, stay aware, particularly with all the garbage that's in the news right now, stay aware of what's really going on. But most of all, stay tuned, because I will be back next week full of brightness and sunshine. So until then, my friends, you take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
kicked its ass.